Say we appreciate our young people and those that work with them. Boy, wasn't that wonderful? Went to revival Friday night at Euharley Baptist Church in Aragon, the first church that we pastored. Brother Jeff Clark was helping them. Brother Jeff pastors a church in Marietta, and they have three youth choirs. They separate their youth by age, and so this was their young college age group, and they were ranged from 18, I think he said, to 27, and they had about 10 or 11 of them, and they sang Friday night there at the church and did a wonderful job. And he was bragging on them and talking about how proud he was of them. And I appreciate him doing that, but I'd say I put mine up against anybody's. And I wouldn't do it for a competition. I'd just say I believe they're the best. And I appreciate our young people, and I appreciate those that work with them. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see young people. You'll not see many now in that age group that was with us Friday night, 18 to 27. That in most churches, they say that's the age and the time where a lot of folks either decide to stick with the church or get out. And it's a critical time. It's a critical time in most people's lives because they're trying to figure things out. They're not kids anymore, and they're not quite adults a lot of times, and they're just trying to figure some things out. And so it's a critical time in your life, those ages. And it was a blessing to see them. And, of course, we had some up to that age, maybe a little older, up here helping. And we appreciate everyone this morning that had a part. As I was going home, if you miss sunrise service, Brother Daniel did a wonderful job this morning and preaching out of John, and there the John's account of the resurrection and the empty tomb, and he preached on the napkin and the symbolism there of the napkin being folded. And he just did a wonderful job, and we missed them. He had to preach somewhere this morning for the regular service. But he did a wonderful job. But as I was on my way home, I had it on 101, Ella J, and it just wasn't doing it for me this morning. I'll just be honest with you. There's a couple of churches that were having their preaching, and it wasn't hitting me too good. I wasn't enjoying it. I just be honest. So I turned it over to 89.7, broadcast out of Chattanooga. Used to listen to it when I went to Tennessee Temple up in Chattanooga, and they play a lot of old hymns, and they sing a lot different than what we do. But I've never heard this hymn, but this is what come on, and it stirred me this morning, and I want you to listen to the words. I'm not going to sing it because I don't really know the song, but it said, if the dark shadows gather as you go along, do not grieve for their coming. Sing a cheery song. There's joy for the taken. It will soon be light. Every cloud wears a rainbow if your heart keeps right. The chorus said, if your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right, there's a song of gladness in the darkest night. If your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right, every cloud will wear a rainbow if your heart keeps right. Is your life just a tangle full of toil and care? Smile a bit as you journey, others' burdens share. You'll forget all your troubles and making their lives bright. Skies will grow blue and sunny if your heart keeps right. There are blossoms of gladness neath the winter's snow. From the gloom and the darkness come the morning glow. Never give up the battle. You will win the fight. Gain the rest of the victor if your heart keeps right. I'm going to give you the chorus again. If your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right, there is a song of gladness in the darkest night. If your heart keeps right, if your heart keeps right, every cloud will wear a rainbow if your heart keeps right. Amen. I appreciate the Lord giving me that song this morning. It helped me going back to the house and I had a time, I'm telling you, me and the Lord, and it was wonderful. And you see these young people up here singing, and you see the emotion that they sing with and the facial expressions, some mad, some angry, some happy, some not knowing which way to go or what to do. But you see the emotion spread on all their faces. And when they know a song, you see the emotion that they sing it with. If your heart keeps right, you can sing like they were singing when they knew the song. I know the song this morning. I know the song. The Lord put it down deep in my heart. And I sing that song from time to time. And I'm very, very thankful for the song that the Lord gave. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us, going to read out of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, and you pray for us for just a few minutes. If you didn't know, the third Sunday is our youth Sunday. And so coupled together with Easter, the cantata and all of that. And so I appreciate everybody having part in that and doing what they've done. And just been a wonderful day in the Lord already. Our young people need to be in the house of God, need to hear the word of God. They need to be in the house of God more than they need to be in school. I'm going to say that again. Our children need to be in the house of God more than they need to be in school. I'm going to say our children need to be in the house of God more than they need to be on the ball field and in the gymnasiums. Our children need to be in the house of God more than they need to be at the skating rink and the bowling alley and the mall and the movie theaters. Our children need to be in the house of God. And I want to encourage you to bring them and let them be a part of what's going on here at Mountain View. And let them learn and grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We love you. And we want you to leave here today better than the shape that you came. Ephesians chapter number 1. I'll read in just a second. Evan led this morning one verse of how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Brother Daniel preached out of John 20, the napkin was folded, and talked about the Hebrew tradition that signified that the master, if he was done eating from the table, he would just throw his napkin down, crumpled up. But that if he was going to come back, that he would fold his napkin, and the servants would know not to clean the plates, but to leave it alone because he was going to return. Amen. Thomas and Daniel and Luke then saying, did I mention that I love him? And then Brother Leroy testified. That was our sunrise service this morning. It was wonderful. And now I want you to listen to what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read several places in the book. You'll find this phrase in the book of Ephesians, and only in the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That third verse, the end of it, said, in heavenly places in Christ. Chapter, or verse number 20. And I'm going to jump up and read verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 20 ended in the heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse number 6. And I'll begin with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in the third chapter and the 10th verse, you'll find it like this, and I'll begin in the 8th verse. Unto me, who am less, Paul said, the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And that's the four places that you'll find those exact words, in heavenly places. But chapter number 6, Paul turns his attention to something else, but uses a similar term, and I want you to look at it. Beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity and this time that we have now to be in this place. Lord, we thank you, God, for what our hearts have been made to feel this morning. Lord, as we started out with the sunrise service and felt your presence there, and thankful, Lord, for feeling your presence on the way home. And God, this morning as we met back out at 11 o'clock and began to think about the day and listen to the songs that are sung a lot of times on Easter Sunday morning, and begin to rejoice in what you've done for us, and God, in the power that has been given unto us, and Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, the faces that we've seen, we've prayed over, and Lord, prayed over these families and been thinking about them, and God, even throughout this past year, Lord, we thank you for each one that's come this way, and I pray this morning now that you'd help me, God, for just a little while, that we might get ourselves out of the way and preach one more time what the Word of God says, and that it might be help unto each and every one of us. God, here this morning, I pray, oh Lord, that you take the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and God, and move in and out these benches. Father and Lord, help each one that's come this way. Those that might be a little bit farther from you than what they used to be. God, those that may have had a relationship with you at one time, but if have gone far. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help them today. Bless and have your way in each heart and each life. Lord, but most of all, I pray for them that's lost. Lord, that this would be the good day. That they'd get acquainted with the resurrection. Lord, and be raised from the dead. Now, Lord, I pray again that you'd have your sweet willing way. God, hide us behind the cross. I pray, Lord, help me not to stand in pretense. Help me not stand in anything that I've referenced. God, that would not be concerning to your will today. If there's anything I've thought of, God, that's not right, I pray you'd take it from us. Lord, but if there's something we ain't thought on, please bring it to our remembrance. And let us preach again in the power and authority of our calling. Father, and we'll be careful in everything. God, to give you praise and glory and honor. For we ask it all in the lovely name of Jesus. And for Christ's sake, this morning we humbly pray. Amen and amen. You pray for us for just a minute. I don't feel like I'll keep you very long, but I'm going to give you what the Lord's give us. And brethren, this morning I wrote down some things as God began speaking to us. Heavenly places found four times. And there we read in your hearing. But Paul also warned them in chapter number 6. And brethren, listen again. Against the things that we wrestle. And he said against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness. Of this world. And against spiritual wickedness. In high places. Brethren, listen. But did you hear what I read to you first? Brother, there in that first little bit. Paul said, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse number 20, which we wrought in Christ. When he, the Father, raised him from the dead. Amen. And set him at his right hand. In the heavenly places. Brethren, listen. And then in chapter number 2, he said, and hath raised us up, Paul said, of him in the Ephesians, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen. Christ was resurrected. Listen. He wasn't talking there of his ascension when he'd go back to the Father. But he said, when our Father raised him up from the dead and set him in the heavenly places. Amen. You listen. The resurrection. Tony already said it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Amen. Quit looking here and there. Quit wondering about what's to come. Amen. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. Amen. Though a man be dead, yet shall he live again. Amen. Brother, you listen. I am the resurrection. Brother, and Paul said, because he was raised from the dead, that the Father set him in heavenly places. Amen and amen. Not only that, but he said, we also, brother, have been raised. Thank God. To do what? To sit together in heavenly places. Amen. I want to say this. Brother, this morning, thank God. Listen. I don't just have to feel good to be in the heavenly place. Amen and amen. I don't just have to get the glory bumps to roll down my neck to be in the heavenly place. Brother, no sir. I don't have to hear somebody shout or sing a song that stirs me up to be in the heavenly place. No sir. Brother Bruce, I don't have to have an epiphany from God or the Spirit move me to be in the heavenly place. No sir. But according to Paul's writing, because I've been raised
days. I'm sitting in the heavenly places today. Amen. Thank God. And brother, I've always thought somebody's going to have to stir me up. And brother, or the Spirit was going to have to move me. And I was going to have to get the good feels. And brother, the feeling good. Thank God, listen, to be able to sit in heavenly places. But that's not so. Thank God, whether I feel good or whether I don't. Whether I feel saved or whether I don't. Brother, hear somebody shout, or whether I don't, Brother Bruce, God raised me up from the dead to sit in heavenly places today. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Paul was trying to encourage the church at Ephesus, amen, that even as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead and set in the heavenly places, so you and I, brother, have been raised, if we've been born again, amen, to set in heavenly places. I'm going to say this. If God has raised you from the dead and you've had part in the resurrection, because Christ Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I want to ask you, why are you sitting around in the world? Amen. Why are you sitting around and playing in the world when God has raised you to sit in heavenly places? Why today are you struggling around with the dust and dirt of this world, bugging cobwebs all over the place, when God's raised you up to be above it all in the heavens? At least today, why do people sit in dust and dirt and wallow around in the bed, in the pit, in the mire, when God raised you up? You know what John said? John said, he hath made us to be both kings and priests. Amen. Both of those, and brother, particular, and brother, listen, places, kings and priests of that day was the highest of the high. And amen. And Jesus has made us to be both kings and priests. Thank God, listen, I'm glad this morning that I'm not sitting around no longer, brother, sniffing out underneath the table, no sir, trying to find me a crumb to eat, that little old lady come to him, and yes sir, and saying, Lord, thank God, I said, even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And you know what he said, Leroy? He said, not so great faith have I ever seen in all of Israel. Amen. I'm no longer sniffing under the table for the crumbs. I'm sitting at the heavenly seat. Amen. Brother, because I've been born again. Well, preacher, you act like we can live close to the Lord. Hey man, I'm preaching you can. Hey man, I'm preaching you can. Paul was preaching you can. Hey man. Hey, yes sir. And you know why so many people don't? And because they're not sitting up there where God has placed them at. But they continue, brother, listen, out of water in the muck of the world. Hey, yes sir. But I got news for you. God has called us to a higher plane and a higher living. And brother, it ain't just a feel-good status. It's an everyday occurrence in the heavenly places today. Amen. Yes, sir. I wonder why, brother, in years gone by, that we talk about them old-timers. I wonder why we don't just talk about them being in church. No, sir, but you know what I talk about? I talk about my mama, mine, and Papa Gene. Listen, and their daily walk with God. I'm just going to be honest with you. As far as I know, I never went to church. I was never in a service with my great-grandparents. I never heard Papa Gene preach, as far as I know. But you know how come I know he loved God? Because he is a close to Jesus. And brother, it's because I did see him on Mondays, and sometimes Tuesdays, and sometimes Wednesdays, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, when I'd go visit with them. And on those days when church was not happening, they were still sitting in a place that was far above the rudiments of this world. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, listen, we're not wrestling with men. That's not who we wrestle against. My fight ain't with you, Brother Leroy, and it ain't with other men. But he said this, listen, he said, that we wrestle against principalities. Principalities were rulers, that's what that means. And against powers, and powers were the authorities of that day, had the laws that they had made. And against powers, and against rulers of the darkness. Notice that didn't say the ruler of the darkness. Brother, I read some commentary that said that that was Satan. But brother, it couldn't be so because it said rulers with an S. Now I'll say this, it could have been many Satans, many demons, many devils. For Legion said over there, we are many, call us Legion. So maybe that's what he's talking about. But that's who we wrestle against. And he said also we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to say this, for everything that God made, Satan made a counterfeit. Satan made something to look like it, to feel like it, to act like it. But I got news for you. I tell whether it's spiritual wickedness in high places or whether it's the church of the living God in heavenly places, I can tell the difference. I can. I'm going to make somebody mad. I'm not even trying to. But Joel Osteen don't do nothing for me. And don't get mad at me, but he don't help me none. Amen. And I've tried listening to him, Brother Carl. And I've tried being open to him. And brother, but they just ain't nothing there that gets me stirred up. Oh, he says some good things. And brother, he'd make a good politician. Yeah. But brother, I'm not looking for a politician. I'm looking for a preacher. And I'll preach the Word of God. And because the Word of God is where I find my power at today. Hey, man. That's right. Yeah. I don't. Hey, man. I'm just going to be honest with you. And brother, whenever I get done listening to somebody like that, I feel like I could face other men. I feel like I could face the world. I could go to my job. I feel like everything's going to be okay. But brother, listen, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. No, sir. So I don't need help overcoming you or nobody else. But brother, I need help getting out of this world and sitting up in heavenly places today. Hey, man. Well, how can you get there, preacher? Get born again. Hey, man. That's what Paul said. You know why we're celebrating today? Because Jesus raised from the dead. Hey, man. Yeah. Listen. Thank God. He rose both physically and spiritually. Amen. He rose physically so they could see him, so they could go tell everybody that he did what he said he was going to do. He had to be seen of those men those 40 days. Amen. And those women 40 days. He had to be seen of both men and women. And brother, so that they could say he's done what he said he'd do. And amen. He has come forth. And I want to say this about that. That's one of the greatest, amen, proofs that we got today. Thank God. Listen, the Bible said there was one time where he was seen of above 500 men. Somebody said, some old secular writer, said there's all hallucinating on some type of drug. I'm going to tell you this. I've read a lot about hallucinations. And bro, I've never read where sane people had the same hallucination in the same place. But I don't believe it was no hallucination. I believe they saw him, thank God. I read a little bit on that crazy man years ago out in California that had all them people kill them people. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Got that swastika tattooed on his forehead. That crazy man. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I read a little bit about him, and they was all on drugs. Did you know that? And they wrote down their accounts of what they saw. And not one of them had the same thing that they saw. No, sir. I'm telling you, them above 500, they wasn't hallucinating and wasn't on drugs. No, sir. And Mary wasn't hallucinating either. No, sir. It wasn't just enough that she turned to see him. But because she still didn't recognize him, supposing him to be the gardener. But Brother Bruce, the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. They're in heavenly places. And she said, Mary. And she said, Master. Amen. Amen. Wonder how she knew. Brother, for a minute, she is brother low and down. She is down in the world. And supposing him to still be dead. And supposing him to still be the gardener. But when he spoke, one writer said, he spake, ain't no other man ever spake like this man. He speaks as one with authority today. Amen. Amen. Mary. She knew who he was. Amen. Well, you may not recognize him when you see him. You may not understand who he is when you behold his face. Preacher, have you ever seen him? Listen, I'm going to make this comment. Don't fall out with me, but I'm going to say, yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him. Why, you're Lulu, you're crazy. You ain't never seen Jesus. I have. Every day of my life I see him. But I've opened my eyes to him because he let me sit with him today. I'm going to tell you this. You won't ever see him in flesh. Nope. Because what did he say over there? He said, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Amen. But you know what Paul said? He said, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. And he was talking to them of that day about their experience of grace and the fact they had been raised because they had believed. Hey, man, he said, ye are in the spirit. Thank God. Listen, I'm trying to tell you that when God saved you, he put you in a heavenly place to live right, do right, dress right, talk right, and be right today. Not a lot of people want to do that. Not a lot of people enjoy doing that. But you say, preacher, you ain't got no more Bible than that you just read. I got more. The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God. You tell me that ain't a heavenly. Why do rulers of this world and powers and authorities offend us and hurt us? Because you let them. Brother Jeff read it either last Sunday or Sunday before last in Sunday school before we went down. He read the scripture over in the book of Psalms, and every verse ends with, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And the next verse, the end of it, His mercy endureth forever. And the next verse, His mercy endureth forever. Listen, His mercy was good when you got it. It's good today. It'll be good tomorrow. And as long as you got it this morning, it'll endure forever. How about there's some people that never have accepted it? They've never sat in heavenly places. They've never enjoyed the Spirit of God. And they'll never enjoy the mercy of God because they've rejected Him today. Amen. Preacher, you act like it's easy to live this way. I'm going to say this, it's easier than people give it credit for. It's easier than people want to. Everybody wants to give credence to the devil. Everybody wants to give credence to the wiles of the devil. Everybody wants to give credence to the problems of this world. Did you know this world is just a speck in the realm of eternity? Did you know that the existence of this world is just a speck? 6,000 and something years old, this earth has been existing. I don't know how old it is, but that's how long it's been existing. Hey, listen, and I want to tell you this, and even in that many years, I want you to understand that that's just a speck in the realm of eternity. So what is your life but a vapor? It appeareth for a short time, the Bible said, and it vanisheth away. It vanisheth away. You've all probably heard the story, or there's a song or something that talks about the two dates on the tombstone, the beginning and the end. But the question is, what will you do with the dash in the middle? What will you do with the dash in the middle? They say of one old preacher, I can't remember his name. He started that college up there where you don't have to pay anything to go to. It's a Bible college. I can't think of it. D.L. Moody, it come to me. And they say that on his deathbed that he said something like this. I won't get it exactly right, but he said something about earth is fading. Heaven is drawing near. This must be my finest hour. Amen. Woo! Thank God. I wonder why he's able to enjoy it so much. And Brother Raymond Cook said, people say, Brother Raymond, pray for me. I want to live a righteous life. Brother Raymond said, I can't pray that on you. He said, you'll have to do it. And if you do it, you can die a righteous death today. One writer said, who can count the dust of Jacob? Who can number the fourth part of Israel? He said, let my latter end be like his, and let me die the death of the righteous. Amen. Let me die the death of the righteous. Well, what about it this morning? I got more. I got the whole book of Psalms. I was going to read to you 10 verses. They talked about places. David talked about slippery places and dark places. He talked about evil places and wicked places. 10 verses in the book of Psalms that talk about some bad places. But then there's 7. Wonder why it was 7. I don't know, but it sure did do me good this morning when I was reading them. But there's 7, Brother Jeff, 7 being, hey man, that number of completion. There's 7 verses that talk about, hey man, some places that I believe, brother, are the heavenly places, and the places where God was, and where he had sent you, and the places where you could get out of trouble, and the places where his dominion is, and the places where his presence is today. Preacher, that's Old Testament. I'm glad Jesus was in the old just like he's in the new. Hey, man. Heavenly places. When that fella's cussing you, heavenly places. Jesus said, you've read
in olden times where it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, heavenly places. Amen. He didn't say that, preacher. Yes, he did. He said, if he smites you on one cheek, offer up him the other. How can I do that? Heavenly places. Amen. Where the law gave you the opportunity, brother, to recoil and to restrike and to give back what was given to you, Jesus said, I tell you, give them grace. How can I do that, preacher? Heavenly places. Heavenly places. Well, preacher, I ain't never got there before. I'm going to tell you what you have if you've been born again. And you are there now if you've been born again, according to what Paul wrote there in the book of Ephesians. But you know what? This morning, you're going to have to come to know him to ever experience heaven. And if you don't come to know him, you'll never experience heaven at all. You won't ever, listen to me, if you never get saved, you never accept Christ as your Savior, you never believe upon him, you'll never ever sniff one part of heaven. But I want to say this. If you get born again, you'll never, ever, ever sniff one part of hell. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Listen, as much. Amen. As much as them that die without Christ and brother spend an eternity in hell and brother separated from God in the lake of fire, I want you to understand this. And brother, just as much or more so, Tony, we're experiencing heaven and we'll never experience hell, thank God. As they come get a verse of some song. David wrote of pleasant places. David wrote of holy places. David wrote of deep places. Places of God's dominion. And then in the 105th Psalm, David wrote this, and I'm going to finish. The 105th Psalm. And I'll be done. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Listen. And he opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that was in an instant dry was all of a sudden flooded with rivers of water. Y'all let me have a time this morning if it'd be all right. I know we got family events, but I mean, it's one time dry, but now flowing with water. At one moment it was dusty, but now, thank God, and brother, overflowing with the waters that God himself had brought forth. Where's that at, preacher? Heavenly places. Heavenly places. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad this morning to be born again? Whew. I could run around a few times. Thank God. It's not just because it's resurrection. You say, preacher, you act like that all the time. If I get over, I do. If I get over, I do. Sometimes he has to enlighten me all over again for me to understand that I've been made to sit in heavenly places. But notice what he said, and then we'll stand. Listen real closely. He said he had raised us up to sit all by ourselves in heavenly places. Is that what he said? I told you this year that our motto for the year is let us. Let us, let us, let us. Christ didn't raise you up, Brother Jeff, to sit alone. He didn't raise you up, listen, young person, young adult person. He didn't raise you up to be about this world and the business of this world all alone. You want to know why it's so hard on you? Because you're trying to do it alone. But God has placed every member in the body according as it pleases Him. Amen. And you all know where you'll find strength and help in the days when it gets dark and when it gets cold, and how you can keep your heart right. Ain't that the song that I read to you? If your heart's right, then even the clouds have got rainbows in them. How do you do that? Brother Mike, how can I accomplish that? He said He raised us up to sit together in heavenly places. You want to find some help? You want to find some strength? One, get born again. And two, join the church and be faithful. Preacher, will I not have any more problems? No, that's not what I'm saying. You're going to have them. But you'll be like old Peter when the storms was rocking that boat. And they saw something walking out there, and old Peter said, I believe that's a ghost. And the Lord spoke up and said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, if that's really you, bid me come unto you. And he said, come on. And Peter stepped out on the big tsunami wave. Hey, it wasn't no little storm cloud that was a ray. It was a rock in that boat. And old Peter stepped out, and he stepped on that first wave. Look, he stepped on that first wave's head, and he kept on going. Made us to tread on serpents' heads and scorpions. Yeah. Far above rule and principality. Wasn't that what I read to you in that first chapter? Far above it all, Brother Bruce. And every wave that stood up, and rocked that boat, Peter was stepping on top of it. And that next trouble, he just stepped on top of it. And that next one, he just stepped on top of it. And he just kept stepping. Listen, until he remembered the storm that was behind him and under him. The storm never stopped when Peter was walking. He didn't walk on a clear sheet of glass. It was still going on, but he was above it in the heavenly places because his eyes was on the Lord. Brother Anthony, I don't think he'll mind me telling you this. He stood up not too long ago, made acknowledgments to the church, and he said something about his mud hole. I don't guess I'll ever forget that. So that's what I wrote down, Brother Anthony. When I pray for you, I say, just help him with that mud hole. Get him over that mud hole. That's what I pray, that mud hole. Help him to stand above it, Lord. Amen. It may not be a tsunami wave that's got you. It may just be a little old mud hole. But that mud hole's hard to get over sometimes. Amen. But God raised you up to be more than what you are. He raised you up not to be flesh and blood, but to be a child of the King. Stand with us this morning if you have a need. God's dealt with your heart. It'd be a wonderful time this morning to come and give your heart unto the Lord and to be saved. Won't you come? Won't you come? singing. You come on this morning. Softly, we'll sing one more verse as far as my part goes. I listened to some preaching earlier this week, Friday as a matter of fact. They were having a service called the Good Friday Service. And I don't get along with that too good. I know for years and years and years we've had Good Friday and people's taking off for Good Friday and all like that, but I've told you that that don't line up with my Bible. My Bible, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And you can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. You just can't do it. And I realize that Good Friday was made by man. I don't have a problem with people celebrating. It doesn't bother me. Somebody said, well, what makes you want to tell people about what the Bible said? And why does it matter so much to you? Because it's my Father's words. If my natural daddy was misquoted, misrepresented, don't you think I'd stand up to write his name? Don't you think I'd stand up to write his word? It would mean that much to me. Somebody said, why do you love that Bible so much? And why do you? Because it's my Heavenly Father's words. And it means something to me. It means something to me from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the book of the Revelation. Every word in between. And I'll make this commitment to you, and I think you already know this. I'll always preach what thus saith the Word of God, even if it's contrary to popular belief. I will. I won't bring nothing to you that I ain't tried my best to study it out, to dig it out, and to make sure that's what the Word of God says, because I don't want to misrepresent His Word. Have you done that before? Sure I have. Sure I have. But I made a commitment several years ago to quit following what man says and to follow what God says. And God said through Paul and the inspired writings of Paul that if you've been born again, He has set you in the heavenly places. Now I want to say this. And I don't want it to sound smart. Let us live like it. Let us live like it. Help me, Lord. Help me. Sing another verse. You come on right now. You come on. Give your idols up. You may not have a little statue of Buddha, but there's something that you've got that is in place of God. Give all that up and put your trust in Him today. Trust only in His love and deal. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will be there. appreciate that. I appreciate your kind attention. I appreciate the songs and it's been sung and the word that's been spoken today. And I appreciate you for being in attendance with us this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful crowd, and we're so thankful for you. Appreciate you coming this morning and spending your Easter Sunday with us at Mountain View Baptist Church, which is, if you didn't know, the best church in the whole wide world. It's what we believe. If we didn't believe it, I'd go somewhere else. And I appreciate the Lord for giving us the best church in the whole wide world. Preacher, do you have your faults? Sure we do. Do you have your problems? Yes, sir. But God has made us to sit together in heavenly places. And I'm thankful for that.